Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of Den Excelsior, the Mostly Marvel podcast. We are going, where are we going? This is episode 129. We're continuing the X-Men train. I'm your host, Ricky. With me, as always, is Dennis. This week, we're talking about X-Men Origins Wolverine.
We are. And surprisingly, we managed to get somebody to join us on this ride.
Yes, friend in real life and friend of the show. We got Brian.
Yay!
Welcome.
Hey, welcome.
We've said before on the show you host our Dungeons and Dragons games on Monday nights, and right before the show I just threw it out on a lark. I said, hey, if anybody wants to join us for X-Men Origins Wolverine. And I expected crickets, and you're like, sure, why not? And I was like, really? Okay. It's because sometimes Ricky and I we're prepared to do this on our own if we can't get somebody to do this. But I was quite surprised to have a volunteer for that.
And I even have good things to say about it somewhat.
Yeah. And I think that's exciting. But we'll save that, as always. You know, the spotlight will be towards the end of the show, the last half. But before we get into like the news and stuff, I think spoiler warning right away. The other thing that we're having fun with right now during our X-Men movie revisit is we're kind of double.
X-Men 97. Yeah,
yeah, it's a double feature.
It's a big X-Men year.
It is, and so right. Normally we would say like, hey, Brian, what have you been nerding out on this week? But I'm pretty sure I know what everyone's been nerding out on these last 2 weeks. So spoiler warning, I think we wanted to talk about the newest episode a little bit. And I warned Ricky as well, because apparently he didn't finish the episode, which is
Did you start it?
I did.
All right.
Yeah.
I got the parts I needed.
How far did you get, Ricky?
Right after they did, Bishop did the thing, and he, after the illusion or whatever the hell they were in.
So after Bishop took Nathan Summers to the future?
Yes. No, that's not the thing he meant.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not. That's not what you meant. You're lying.
No, after he did like the big blast thing, that's like, okay.
No.
That was so early in the episode.
Oh,
well,
yeah. These episodes are dense, man. There's so much. But I know, Brian, you texted me earlier because you're like, how deep into Inferno can we get? and I was like, you can go. You just go. Just do it, man. But like, yeah. Tell me your experience watching this show this last 2 weeks, because I know you were a giant X-Men fan growing up. So,
yeah, what, X-Men. Like, yeah, and all the X titles were my jam. Like, I'd say 90% of my comics are X-Men, X-Factor, New Mutants, all those titles. And it's been a trip watching it because it is that sort of blast of the past nostalgia from the original cartoon. But, you know, it does look better. I do like the new look. I know some people do not.
Is it the same show, Brian?
So, yes. I think it, and this week kind of drove home some of the things that I didn't like about the original run of the animated series, which was taking really complex, layered storylines and smashing them into a single episode or two episodes.
Yeah.
Because like Inferno spanned 20 some issues. It was the big crossover in the early 90s.
Years, wasn't it?
A while. Yeah, and you know, Spider-Man was a major player in it. And it also built up off of a lot of controversial decisions that had been made earlier about Cyclops and Madeline Pryor, who was an established character in the comic, not you know, as right. it is in the cartoon. She just names herself at the end for no reason.
So, like, backstory in the comics, Madeline Pryor is a character that Cyclops starts dating
yeah.
after Jean dies in it from the Dark Phoenix saga. And he kind of is into her because she looks exactly like Jean, which is gross. It's problematic. It is problematic. And then you find out later that Mr. Sinister actually created a clone of Jean a yeah. long time ago, but it was lifeless. It didn't work. His creation was didn't function until Jean died. And what ended up happening is a piece of the Phoenix Force survived and found a host that looked and tasted just like its previous.
Well, because it's a clone.
Right. So once it went inside that, then she was awakened. She became his clone, became alive.
But she had no powers until Inferno.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so, but what's funny is in the comics, it makes sense because as a joke, he named her Pryor as she was created prior to the death of Jean, you know?
Yeah. He being Chris Claremont, right? That's who you're.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, or Mr. Sinister, whichever you want to call it.
I thought she was named after Richard Pryor.
Yeah, yes. Well, that too.
But in this show, literally, it's just at the end of the episode, she's like, "Call me Madeline Pryor," and you're like, "Well, I guess that's what it's got to be." But that said, I mean, we know that this is what the cartoon's always been: is bite-sized versions of really giant, like sometimes very mature X-Men stories. And I gotta say though, man, this was really, really riding that line of are you sure you're PG? Are you sure you're PG? Like this.
Are you talking about the Goblin Queen out later?
Oh my god.
they had to de-sexy the toy.
They had to de-sexy the character in general.
Well, yeah. The toy is like she has pants on the toy.
No, she doesn't.
Doesn't she have like bike pants?
No, my toy does not have pants.
Well, and that's not her original Goblin Queen costume. That's when she was the Black Queen. So, because her Goblin Queen costume was a little bit different.
Her Goblin Queen costume is very different.
Your toy doesn't have pants?
No, it has thigh-high boots. I think that's why you're confusing it.
Yeah.
It looks almost like pants, but she's not.
There was no thigh meat exposed on that toy.
always glad to have you, you know, judging those toys for us, Ricky. It's good. Don't, you know, quality control.
And she doesn't wear pants.
You're right. I see what they did. They painted over. Yeah, you're right.
They just like paint the upper thigh.
They paint the upper thigh like a stocking color.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get that fixed real quick.
It's not accurate anymore.
I'll get that fixed. Well, I mean, in fairness, like if you've ever seen what a Goblin Queen looks like in the comics, whew,
yeah,
that's she takes the definition of reverse cleavage to a new level. Like it's all under boob all day long. Yeah. But in any case, yes, the Goblin Queen is this evil, sometimes evil, like crazy powerful version of Jean Grey that sired a baby. And I think you know who that baby is, right? Right?
Real. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about that last week. Yeah. So but her power, like for some reason, you know. She chooses to take the scope of like Jean Grey's telekinetic and telepathic abilities and manifest it as with crazy ass goblins and monsters and stuff like that's
magic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She makes it look like magic. And
because in the comics, and they sort of skip this, but in the comics, she gets drawn into a deal with two demons. So, Nerith and I forget what the other one is. And it's a whole deal, and I believe it occurred right after, because it was big in the X-Force comics, and I think it had occurred right after Apocalypse, so they were already beat the hell down, and then this happens, and it was like a big character development for Scott Summers, which, if you want to talk about nitpicks for the X-Men 97 episode, I felt like they they glossed over really, really quickly that Scott finds out, oh, the mother of my child is a clone. Oh, my, you know, girlfriend is back from the dead and I've been dating a clone. Okay, let's send the baby to the future and I'll send, you know, my wife who I married away on the bus and keep the resurrected one.
I don't know that they glossed over it or that it felt like, because the very last shot of the episode is Scott in the bedroom staring at this woman that has been gone for who knows how long. And it's a very awkward stare. And then it fades to black and that's the credits. And you're like, I think the implication is there's going to be a lot of deliberation that occurs. We may not see that on screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were trying to give us the gravity of it at the very end of the episode, but I was all for it. But like, I think the thing that just made that episode so fun for me was the animation was bananas. Like it reminded me of like some of the best action sequences from the Castlevania show on Netflix. I felt like I was watching Castlevania. Like when you get to Mr. Sinister's hideout and like there's stained glass windows everywhere, and you see what Jean Grey versus Magneto looks like, and Magneto gets torn to shreds by a million pieces of glass. That is a beautiful scene that you would never have seen in the old cartoon.
I think one of the things I respect about the show is that it assumes that the viewership has some level of knowledge or interest, because they drop Morph turning into magic, Ileana Rasputin, out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes on her Dark Child.
And Dark Child, right? Yeah.
And there's no, like, it's just, it's there. And it's awesome.
No explanation. That's Morph every episode so far. Yeah. Is he's just giving you, he's giving you the things that they don't have time to explain. And you just have to be happy. You have to be happy.
Wolverine.
I also liked him perving on Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's been perving on Wolverine for several episodes now, and I am all about this. I really do believe that Wolverine, being the cuck that he is in this love triangle, would totally be down to clown with somebody who can shapeshift into Jean Grey.
Yeah, I mean, Wolverine is canonically bi, so.
Yeah, I felt like he was. Okay.
Well, there's the whole Krakoa era. There's that one comic where they show Wolverine, Scott, and Jean like all
in a throuple, together. Right? Yeah, that's right. You're right.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, props to the show for going there, because it's really awesome. Ricky, I am happy that you got to watch where you got to watch, but
you got to watch the best part still.
I'll watch it. Yeah. Because for
me, like, the X-Men just have some of the best villains and the top tier ones are Magneto, Mr. Sinister, and Apocalypse. But like the thing about like Magneto and Apocalypse is like, I kind of understand their thing, you know, like I get their thing. Mr. Sinister is just the ultimate mustache twirler ever. Like, he is
shocker, right? The guy called Mr. Sinister.
I know,
is just a bad fucking dude.
He's just so evil, and I love him for it.
I will say I do lose it. I lose some interest. Like, magic and X-Men to me, or X-Men using magic, does kind of break X-Men for me. Like. And to be fair, I haven't read great stories or have cared to seek it out, but to me it just seems like you break the allure of what X-Men are.
Read some of the old Excalibur, because that does a really good job sort of weaving together magic and mutants, because you have a team that's some mutants and some mystical heroes, and almost everything they fight comes out of like British mythology, so it's a lot of magical foes. Or X of Swords, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure why the magic breaks you, because, like, you could really just look at magic wielders as another type of mutant, you know what I mean? Like, it's still something that most people can't do, you know what I mean? And if they're born with the power, it's just what they're born with.
But like, then you have mutants that do have magic who are super, like, the ones I can think of offhand are Scarlet Witch and Magic, Ileana Rasputin, who are both insanely powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Goblin Queen's not magic. It's just it's this is how she chooses to make her.
Yeah, she projects
her stuff. Look,
she's gone through a couple of different iterations in the comics.
I think I meant in the show. I think we're
in the show. Yeah,
we're supposed to interpret that this is like a hallucination that she's creating that is tangible, right? It can't hurt them.
Kind of like Mysterio, she makes a comment that she has Jean's powers, right? When she's fighting Magneto, she's like, "You can control metal, but I'm a telekinetic, so suck it."
Yeah. Basically, yeah, he gets owned because he's only got metal to protect himself. She can use anything and everything she wants against him, and it's a cool scene. Like, I really like seeing the pecking order of the X-Men on display every week, right? Like, we got to see Cyclops and Storm really demonstrate their power in the first episode. And then in the second one, it's like all about Magneto and Storm. And so you feel that loss when Storm loses her powers. And then I think this third episode is really about, like, let's show what Jean and Bishop can really do, because it's what this is for them, right? This was theirs. And I really like that every episode is really kind of focusing on two X-Men to, like,
introducing you.
Yeah. Like, Bishop is pretty nuts. Like, he's like, why would you not just put him in front of you? Like, when you're going to go out in a fight, right? Just let him take all the shots because that's what he does.
Although ostensibly Cyclops, depending on which version of his power set they're going with, also powers up as he gets hit with energy blasts. So
fair enough. Yeah. But I know we could nitpick and stuff the little things here and there, but like, just how happy on a scale of 1 to 10 were you watching this episode?
It was an 8 or a 9 until I realized it was just going to be one episode, and I'm going to take a point or two off for that. But I came into episode 3 expecting it to be a continuation of Executioner's Song, or
which
that they
glossed over pretty fast too.
Yeah, or that they were going to do the story, which they seem to be setting up at the end with Storm getting her powers back and encountering Forge, and you know, going through that. But.
Mm-hmm. Which she did do at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's a two-parter, apparently.
She did meet up with Forge at the end of the episode, which is really interesting because the implication is Bishop is taking that baby to a friend who's good with technology in the future, which is also Forge.
Which is, yeah. Right? Like,
Forge has always been... Yeah, Forge historically in the cartoon universe has been Bishop's ally in the future.
Right.
So this episode was the first time we've ever seen Forge in the 90s, which I'm like, how old are you now? Now I'm kind of wondering, like, how old is Forge?
I mean, he's one of those
mutants that
has sort of nebulously defined powers, and he's literally a Deus Ex Machina, right?
He makes the thing that make him not age. Yeah.
Yeah, he makes the thing that somebody needs to have made for sure. Cool. Yeah.
I think the show has made our week, and we're excited to watch it again next week.
I already watched the new one like more than twice.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into some news.
What do you got?
Did anyone catch the Spider-Verse short that came out this week?
Oh, it got shared with me and I did not get a chance to watch it.
It got announced on, I believe, Monday and came out on Tuesday. But The Spider Within, a Spider-Verse story, it's about a 10-minute short film featuring Miles Morales from the Spider-Verse movies. Kind of dealing with some little bit of anxiety, and you get to see some of that manifest in his life and how he takes care of it. It's just a quick little short that's out there.
What was that, Brian?
I said, my God, you millennials and your, you know, feelings. No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spider-Man shouldn't have feelings.
Spider-Man's all feelings.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. 10 minutes worth. I would say it's worth the watch, but it's on YouTube if you're interested.
Is there action?
He fights his feelings, and the feelings do get manifested in a way.
Okay, fine. We'll see.
Okay, fine is the perfect way to describe this thing. Yeah. It's also probably a good thing to a good way to describe this thing.
Oh God, Marvel Watch.
Marvel Rivals, Marvel's take on Overwatch got announced.
It's NetEase making this game, right? They're the ones that made Future Fight, right?
NetEase is making this game. It's a 6v6 character shooter featuring your favorite Marvel characters. No set on release date, but they are doing alpha testing in the summer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's featuring my favorite characters. I mean, it does have Spider-Man, but I don't like that costume. It's weird.
There's also, it looks like there's two versions of Spider-Man, right?
There's Penny. Penny Parker. They've got Penny. They just wanted to have a diva in the game. Like, that's like, my thing is, like, this looks like a horrible clone of Overwatch. And like, I'm really weirded out by the absence of any X-Men here. Like, or not any X-Men, but Wolverine specifically. Like, don't you put Wolverine in every video game? Like, isn't that kind of like...
I kind of applaud them for trying to go... They got Namor. Like, they got some...
They got Namor, Randall's, who looks like Hanzo there, right? I mean, you can look at this key art here, and it's like, that's Toborn, that's right. It's
It's weird. I will play it if it's free. I will not buy it if it's not.
It is going to be free, but only on PC.
Okay, well, let me know how it is, guys.
We'll let you know how it is when it comes out. Probably.
I love that the Bruce Banner is Bruce Banner and not the Hulk. Like, oh,
I know, yeah. Right? That's just
he's your Winston. You can't be the Hulk all the time.
Yeah, he can be angry a lot. He should be. Yeah.
Well, when you get 4 kills and you get your power
fighting,
Ugh, that's so weird. Well,
it's like serendipity. We had some new Marvel Legends drop today.
Did you get those? Are not new Marvel Legends. Those are not new.
New Legends.
That's why it says Legacy Collection on the bottom.
Is the box new?
Only in the part that says Legacy Collection.
New Marvel Legends got announced today as part of the Deadpool Legacy Collections. You're getting Wolverine.
They said this last year in one of their live streams that they're going to start a new thing with mostly with MCU characters. Like, they're going to start re-releasing them for the people who didn't have a chance to get them the first time around. And so, they're just continuing that with, hey, it's timely. Here's in case you never got that Deadpool figure from like 2 years ago or that Wolverine figure, here they are again. And they're the exact same toy. So,
well, the other Wolverine came in Bone Claws, right?
There's two Wolverine toys.
One with the jacket.
Did it have like removable hands with Bone Claws? Was that it? Or?
I believe so. Yeah, the other guy came with the other one that looks like with the white tank is with Bone Claws. If you notice, Deadpool does come with two sets of hands, like the silver ones and the black ones.
Yeah, but so he needs to come with the appropriate head from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, the old one did too. The old one came with the silver and the black. The Deadpool's the same. It's just the you might be right about the Wolverine, but like, what's that?
I have it on my other screen. So yes.
Oh, it is. Fair enough.
It is a different head too.
Is it?
Yeah, he's showing teeth in the first one, and then this one.
That head on that one there is just sending me.
Well, I don't need it because it's
constipated. It's Wolverine.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, for anybody who needs these figures from before, go for it. I don't want that. I want the yellow suit, Hugh Jackman. That's what I want.
Oh, you say that as the one as if the it's a question. Movie?
Yeah,
I know. I was just saying, like, don't tease me with this garbage. Give me the real thing. Give me the real thing.
That's all I got. A Discord. I can show you some Legends links if you want it.
Nice.
$5.99 a month.
What? I'm not paying $5.99 a month. What? You got any other news?
That's all the news.
Okay. All right. Light news week. All right. Well, then I guess we can get into it. Unless Brian's got anything else nerdy he wants to add to the news.
No, nothing. Not this week.
All right, cool. Let's do it, Ricky.
X-Men Origins Wolverine, this 2009 classic tells the tale of Wolverine and his origin in the box.
I got some things to say about this one before we go full into it.
I'm trying to think of a nickname for Wolverine. I totally blanked. Is it Fuzzball?
Fuzzball. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, one year after we got Iron Man and the Dark Knight, we got this movie.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I think that colored my reception of the movie when it first came out, because we were riding quite the high after 2008, man.
This could not have course corrected.
No, it was probably too late by the time those movies came out. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this, the other interesting thing about this movie is, or really more the lore around it is, it was around, I want to say 2006-ish, or maybe slightly before that, when it was sometime after X2 came out, and sometime I think right before X3 came out. At the time, Joe Quesada was in charge, editor in chief at Marvel, and the story goes that they had a writer's retreat, and he's like, "All right, guys, we got to tell Wolverine's origin now. Like, we have to do it." And they're like, "Why?" Because Wolverine famously was this character that was known for having a mysterious backstory, right? Like, we never got to know who Logan was.
Where did the bone claws come from this, or was it?
Yes.
Claws had been previously when Magneto had ripped out his adamantium. They'd already established.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. In the Onslaught story, right?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yes, you're right.
That he still had this innate power of bone claws.
Yeah, like, yeah, the regeneration and the claws were his. The adamantium came later.
Okay. You're right. That was like 90s, like late 90s was Onslaught. Yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah. So, but the reason Joe Quesada like said to his team, "We have to tell his story," and they said, "Why?" And he says, "Because if we don't do it first, Fox is going to beat us to it." Because that was the trajectory that Fox was on, right? Mm-hmm. Is Fox had already made two really successful movies, and guess who the star of those movies was? Like, you know, like, and they were just going to keep drip feeding you this story about Wolverine, I get it. I think it's really funny that like the movies dictated that Marvel speeded up. You know, we'd enjoyed what, like, I don't know, 40 years of war, or 30 years of Wolverine.
Seventies, right?
Yeah. Seventies. So 30 years of Wolverine without knowing his backstory. And then we got, you know, what was it? Was it called Wolverine Origins? I think was the book. It was a trade paperback that was put out and drawn by Joe Quesada. Excellent art. The story It's okay. You know,
it's also not like, the one that they do in the movie. So
the movie does about 20% of it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The movie starts exactly like the Wolverine Origins movie started. Like it's
well, but him and Sabretooth are brothers.
I thought that was implied that they are half brothers in the book.
They're half.
I think it is implied in the book that they are half brothers.
I thought Sabretooth had been around prior to it, and he kills Wolverine's dad or something. Yeah, Sabretooth is there from the beginning, but I don't think he's always been a blood trauma bond. Wolverine.
I thought because it's a very implied thing, but I got the implication from the book that they are half brothers. But it's, you know, whatever the case, like the story shows that these two have been intertwined. Their lives have been intertwined since James, young James Howlett was a boy,
Jimmy. You know?
And And, you know, and I honestly thought like the coolest part about the movie was the credits at the beginning.
Yeah.
You get to see this them doing all of the wars, like all the wars from the Civil War all the way to Vietnam, right?
Yeah. Like
those credits pull this movie to a higher status.
It really did. It really did. And like, I was very impressed with it. Like, I think at the time I was a little annoyed that Liev Schreiber was playing the character that Tyler Mane had played before. You know, I was like, I don't see it. It doesn't look like him. But like, but on the rewatch,
he's a much better Sabretooth than I originally remembered.
Yeah, right. He's pretty good.
Just like he's an actual character in this movie.
Well, he's a real person. He's clearly channeling that, you know, I'm an animal, I don't give a shit about anything kind of vibe that Sabretooth's always had. He's more than just a heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I guess what I'm getting at, like, you know, so let you guys talk more about it is I like this movie way more today or yesterday than I did in 2009. Because I promise you, I have not watched this movie since 2009. Like, that one time I saw it in the theaters was enough for me. That was it. I was already so burned by X3 that, like, to go and watch this movie after, you know, Iron Man and Dark Knight, I was like, what is this trash? This is so bad. But, like, watching it now, like, knowing what's going to come in that movie and knowing the things that come after that movie, I was pretty okay with this. I will say the CG was bad then, and it's still bad now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's I think one of the worst parts. His claws
look terrible.
His claws are horrible looking, and it just, there are certain scenes where it's just like, why didn't you use physical ones right there? When he's holding them up for the first time in the mirror, and you're like, why couldn't you just have a practical effect there? That's
that whole scene dumb. Was unnecessary, but yeah.
But it's. Yeah, I mean, Brian, why don't you talk about like your highlights from this movie?
Yeah, I think I sent you a message when we were chatting about it, and I said, you know, this is better than I remembered, but I think what happens with this movie is it's become a meme, right? It's the joke is the Deadpool at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that overshadows Deadpool, everything else.
Yeah.
And rightfully, because that is 100% a WTF moment. You're just like, what? Why? Like, the rest of it, you can look and say, all right, I don't necessarily agree with this creative decision, but I see how it fits into the plot. That's just out of left field and so weird to take a character that is so well known and do that to them.
Yeah, it was really funny because I have a friend that, he's a casual fan of this stuff. And I mentioned to him that we were going to watch this movie this week. And he's like, oh, that's funny. I just watched that with my boyfriend the other day. And I was like, oh yeah, really? Like, I remember hating this movie so bad. And he's like, why? It's not that bad. And I was like, yeah, but like Deadpool, right? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Ryan Reynolds plays Deadpool. And he's like, that was supposed to be Deadpool? And I was like, that's my point.
Yeah.
Was Deadpool stock high in 2009?
Like, yes.
It was. Yes. And they hyped it up in the promotion of this film that Ryan Reynolds was going to be in it playing Deadpool. He had requested it. He didn't even have to audition. They're like, done. And so everyone's like, all right, we're going to get some good Deadpool Wolverine classic banter.
There are Deadpool comics in which he jokes about if there was a movie like made of him.
Yeah, he wants it to be Ryan Reynolds.
It should be Ryan Reynolds. Yes. And that's how excited fans were when Ryan Reynolds was cast as Deadpool. Like, we're like, oh my God, this is gonna be amazing. And you get a little tease.
Green Lantern, just
almost killed the actual Deadpool movie, if you remember, right? Because after the reception, they shelved it.
It did kill
the Deadpool movie. And then Ryan Reynolds had to release the test footage, and people were like, oh shit, this is actually what we want.
Yeah.
And Fox was like, fine, we'll release it.
Ryan Reynolds 13 years to recover from this tragedy. Like, because
he's like a billionaire now. He did fine.
No,
it's fine.
No, I don't mean recover like isn't like recover monetarily. I'm saying he so desperately wanted Like, and this is why I love Ryan Reynolds so much, is because like he cares about what the fans think about the stuff that he makes, right? And so like he felt like he did fans so wrong that he spent 13 years trying to build up the production company and the credibility to let Marvel give him the opportunity and Fox give him the opportunity to make the correct Deadpool movie
and murder his past self.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's in the second one though, right?
Yeah. Like
that's
it's the time travel device and he decides to fix all the wrongs.
But yeah, no, I like that's for me. I think that hurts so much because I didn't like reading Deadpool comics at the time, but I knew sure as hell who and what Deadpool was at that time. And he was a very popular character. And so when I saw this movie, I just, you know, it was that gatekeepery, like actually, you know, nerd that would not allow myself to enjoy this movie, because once they showed Wade Wilson with his mouth sewed shut, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, this is you just shat on this character. And so but you know, in hindsight, I'm like, I never really cared that much about Deadpool anyway. So but knowing that we would later get to Deadpool movies, which I think are the best movies in the X-Men franchise, I'm okay with this movie now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with remembering, like, what, right? We talked about this before, Ricky, right? In the last few weeks and months, you know, the early days of Marvel movies, we had to take what we could get.
And they were great. I mean, compared to anything that came before.
I mean, just because someone stumbles and loses their path, it doesn't mean they're lost forever. And this movie, for what it, the good and the bad, we're getting three Deadpool movies. There's been, I think, 7, 8, if you count the cameo, more Wolverine appearances.
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, since then, he's saying since.
Oh,
yeah,
since then.
Since that movie.
Yeah.
You know,
can we just pause for a moment? You were talking about Ryan Reynolds, like, wanting to do the right. What, like, an absolute treasure Hugh Jackman is in this role. Like,
yeah, right.
He's done it forever and clearly loves doing it.
And just keeps getting more jacked in each movie. Like, it's, even if it defies canon that he's that much buffer in, you know,
he's the most jacked theater nerd out there now.
I could have sworn in X-Men 1, I saw scenes of him escaping the Weapon X facility. But then when we had to rewatch those scenes in this movie, he's way bigger and he's butt-ass naked. He's not wearing the Weapon X like outfit. And I'm like,
you mean the diaper and the helmet?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not wearing the diaper. But we get that. We do get that eventually.
I thought we got that in the first movie.
But then we get the diaper and the helmet in Apocalypse.
In Apocalypse, yeah. But,
oh,
yeah.
You're right.
See, there's right, also, if you, it's a blink right. and miss it shot in this one of the diaper and the helmet, Weapon X in Stryker's office at one point, too.
Oh,
he's got it mounted as a trophy.
Yeah. That's funny. But no, I'm not mad at it, man. Like, are there things I'm mad at about this movie? Yes. We're moving past Deadpool. Okay. We're accepting that Deadpool is yet another, like, in a long list of stabby villains that he does boss fights with at the end. Yeah. It's like, can we be slightly more creative than just having him do stab fights? That's annoying. But so, besides that.
So Gambit. Like,
you know, Gambit, I was really mortified by him the first time I watched it.
It wasn't bad.
It's not, right? Yeah. The accent is bad.
The accent's bad. But he does all the Gambit stuff, right?
He throws playing cards,
he swings the staff, he helicopters with it.
I don't understand why he got punched out in the alley, and then in the next scene, he's about a block away running on top of a rooftop. And then jumps down and does it. Like, bro, they don't want to fight you. Stop involving yourself in this fight. You know, there's weird things like that where I think it's editing. It's just bad editing, right? Where it's just like, I don't understand what's going on here, why this is happening. But Is it cool looking? Yeah,
it's cool. I still don't understand Gambit's powers.
He charges physical objects with kinetic energy.
Okay.
And then they explode after a couple of seconds.
Inanimate objects.
But he just picks cards because they're cool.
He likes because cards cool. because there's always 52 of them, and they're easy to carry.
Yeah, I probably carry like 100 pennies.
And he's like in the early comics, it's established that he's like a master of throwing things as well. He just happens to also be able to charge them.
100 pennies is way heavier than 52 cards.
Yeah, but you got 100.
Also, you're going to jingle whenever you try to sneak up on somebody.
He can easily carry two decks of cards, Ricky, and then that's, 104 plus two jokers.
Four better.
Plus two jokers, So I'm just saying, it's his cool gimmick, but he's not exclusive. He doesn't only do cards. He can do any physical, physical inanimate object. It's just he's a card guy. He has a history of being a member of the Thieves Guild, so he's got a lot of sleight of hand. So if your X-Men are a D&D party, he's 100% the rogue. Even though there's a character named Rogue, Gambit is
your
rogue. Yeah,
this
rogue is the tank. Yeah,
this Gambit led us down a path of a Channing Tatum Gambit that they brought out at a Comic-Con. Was that something you guys were stoked about at the time? Or
no, I don't think I was.
Yeah, I mean, Gambit is one of my top five X-Men, but I don't think they'll ever... I don't know, maybe now, since, again, Ryan Reynolds has sort of opened it up to more adult R-rated stuff, but you can't do Gambit super well in a PG-13 environment.
But also,
which has been one of my complaints about the animated series, is Gambit there is a caricature of who he is in the comics, right?
But also remember this, what is Gambit without Rogue?
I will defend him here because I have a huge run of the original Wolverine, where he goes to Madripoor and he's Patch. Gambit shows up a lot in those as basically bickering anti-heroes.
But I'm saying peak Gambit is Gambit with Rogue, right?
That's the thing he's known for.
That's peak Gambit. And so it's kind of gross if this movie takes place 6 years after Vietnam, and Gambit is like a 20-30 something year old person, and we're to assume that Anna Paquin hasn't even been born yet.
Emma Frost.
Scott Summers is 15, all right?
So, I know. Yeah. I don't understand a lot of the canon that's going on in this movie, and I forgive it because I just I just decided I don't care enough about what this movie's doing, because at the end of the day, is Hugh Jackman being a heroic character? Yeah. Is he being Wolverine? Yeah. Is he doing Wolverine things? Debatable. He spends a lot of the first part of the movie standing around watching, when Stryker recruits him and Sabretooth, it's really funny because you watch a 10-15 minute sequence of them invading Lagos and then going, trying to find the adamantium. And every scene is Zero, go, Dukes, go, do this, do this, do this. And every scene is just Logan standing around, just watching and judging. And I'm like, what is your function in this group, dude? And we never get to see his function until he stops Sabretooth from killing a guy after he killed the guy. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm out. And they're like, well, I don't think you contributed much to this group anyways. Yeah, exactly. But I
also want to just highlight, that's probably one of my favorite depictions of Fred Dukes, the Blob, too. I love this one. Because, he doesn't...
You love how the tattoo got fat on his arm?
Is there another Blob appearance in these movies?
He shows up in the final, in X3. He's fighting Nightcrawler in a cage.
Okay, yes.
In X3?
Oh, not Night.
You mean the first class trilogies or whatever.
It's Apocalypse. He's fighting Angel.
Oh yeah, because that's where Nightcrawler shows up. Right.
Yes. It's all that same scene.
yeah. Okay, that's an interesting take that's your favorite.
I mean, Blob is usually just dumb and big. This was a little bit more characterization, and you get that sense of sort of. I'm a sucker for all the old Brotherhood of Evil Mutants guys because they're so hokey, and it's hard to do them well. And a lot of the favorite sort of like mid 80s, early 90s X-Men are just them being dumb fuck ups and sort of Magneto being like curses, Skeletor style. So.
Yeah,
I always like seeing like Toad and Blob and Avalanche show up in these things.
I love that. Like,
60s, these guys can't really compete with the big boys anymore, but sure, let's give them a nod.
I think it's 60s Fantastic Four where they stop Magneto with the wooden gun.
It is.
How did you use my powers? Oh, it's a wooden gun.
Yeah.
You mean a crossbow?
No, it's like literally they take a gun and they make out of wood.
And they made a gun out of wood.
They carved a gun out of wood.
There's some awesome science in those 60s titles.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, if you want to talk about Blob, I'm a little annoyed that he's got a hearing problem, or it appears that he's got a hearing problem because Wolverine clearly called him Bub. They worked together, so they know he knows. How Wolverine talks. Yeah,
but they're firing a lot of guns. You lose your hearing.
And did you just call me Blob? And I'm like, what are you?
That scene was
doing
bad from just the fact that they tried to fit so many bad fat jokes into it. It's like, yeah, we really get it. Yeah. He got fat. Cool.
Yeah. That was weird. I didn't love that. And I was weirded out by how easily he got knocked out. And worse so, I was weirded out to find out later in the movie that Sabretooth killed him off screen.
Which should not have been possible, but whatever.
Yeah, I know, right? That skin is impenetrable, correct?
Well, like, it's impenetrable, and in at least for the last couple of decades, the other thing he has is a microgravity field that he's able to control that just is on his body, which explains how he's able to like jump and do all the athletic things as he can change his innate perception of his weight. But yeah, then he's also super tough and strong. And
he does jump really hot.
Has impenetrable skin. So
yeah.
Like there's literally no way Sabretooth could kill him.
Yeah. Like, I was having a problem with Sabretooth being the hitman in this movie anyways. Like, I was like, I don't know, man. I feel like everybody else is better than Sabretooth in this movie.
I mean, you killed Will.i.am.
You know that guy ain't cleaning up a crime scene.
I know, right? Yeah.
And Wolverine's like, I can't find him anywhere. I was like, open a newspaper.
Why can't you smell him all the time? Like, it's. I thought that's your thing, dude. You smell this guy.
He does a lot of smelling in this movie.
And hearing.
He does a lot of smelling and hearing. Yeah, for sure. What about Silver Fox? How do you feel about that one, Brian?
Setting aside the whole, you know, whitewashing of casting in the role, it's really underdone. First of all, I don't think, if I'm recalling correctly, that's not her powers in the comics, right? She's not a empath.
No, I don't think
and
so.
She's
definitely ain't Emma Frost's sister either.
Yeah, too. She's not Emma Frost. Well, that's not really Emma Frost. That's Emma Silver Fox. We're going to keep the first name, but... Yeah, I'm not sure she adds a whole lot to the movie. The original stories with her sort of developed more that tension between Wolverine's animal side and wanting to be, you know, a person, but also realizing he hurts people if he goes into public. And they tried to do that, but it didn't. She wasn't in the movie long enough for it to make an impact.
Yeah.
And I think if that's my big criticism, other than, you know, everything from Three Mile Island on, it's that they tried to do too many Wolverine things. Right? Here's his origin. Here's his history with Sabretooth. Here's his history with Weapon X. Here's his history with Silver Fox. Here's his history with Gambit, right? It's all of these different things that, I mean, we talked X-Men 97 slams a bunch of stuff together. This did that to the nth degree. It's just...
Yeah.
Nothing was allowed to breathe. Oh, and also we're going to drop in Alpha Flight, but we're not going to really name them, and they're going to be just these old people who get whacked a scene later.
When did they get whacked in the movie?
It, the two old couples? That's Vindicator and
Was Guardian. Them?
Yeah.
That was Vindicator and Guardian.
That's Vindicator and Guardian. That's,
I did not realize.
Oh, that the, was, the house?
Old people who Zero that, shoots.
The Kents. The Kents.
Yeah.
That's what?
Yeah. That's James Hudson and Heather McDonald are who they're introduced as, and that's Guardian and Vindicator.
Oh my
because
god.
Because Wolverine has a long history with Alpha Flight, obviously.
Yeah. Wow. That's terrible.
They should have used their powers.
What about Dominic Moynihan's character? What was this? Like what was
is he original to this? Was he supposed because I don't remember a mutant by that name.
Chris Bradley.
Chances to turn off the light.
I don't remember him. Yeah. What about Will.i.am?
He's fine.
He died cool.
Really? I thought he was the worst actor of all of the movies.
This is his first film role, though. So,
I mean, he can't tell me it wasn't cool as shit where they're like, we got to go to Louisiana. He's like, you can't come with me. I am, brother. And then they ride their bikes to Bourbon Street. You can't tell me that wasn't not cool. They ride from Vegas.
You're right. That wasn't cool. You're right. That wasn't not cool.
I mean, from everything I've seen, this movie looks like it must have been fun to be part of, right? Like,
yes.
It was very loose in a lot of ways.
Unless you're Ryan Reynolds, they had fun.
Even then, I think he had fun. It was posts that did him dirty.
This is like the Fast and Furious of Marvel movies, the style.
Fair enough.
It's an enjoyable movie.
It was written by David Benioff. He wrote Game of Thrones, right?
So we shouldn't have been surprised that it fell apart at the end, I guess.
Fair enough. That's very true. I will say I have like one nitpick that I discovered in this movie this time around that I didn't have before. And it broke me so much that I had to rewind. I actually restarted the movie and watched the first 20, 30 minutes of it again after I watched the whole thing. And it's that I get what you're saying, Brian. Like this movie is trying to give you all the Wolverine, right? It's trying to give you his origin. It's trying to give you his relationships with all these characters. It's trying to explain to you why he's got the memory problems. It's trying to explain to you it's trying to show you literally how the adamantium got on his body. It's giving you everything you ever had a question about, except one thing, which is how the hell did he get the name Logan? I expected the name Logan to be assigned him at some point in the movie as it was going to be a moment. But what ended up happening is Sabretooth calls him Jimmy like all the time. And then right when he's leaving, in Vietnam, he's leaving them. He's saying bye. Or no, it's before he's leaving. It's when Wolverine interrupts because Wade is translating for the people. And Wolverine's like, he doesn't know where the rock is, you know, because they're looking for the adamantium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's not your language, Logan. And I'm like, Stryker just starts calling him Logan. And I'm like, wait. Did I miss something? Like, and I rewound again. I kept going. They never explain why his name is Logan in this movie.
My understanding is they cut some of that, right?
It's also weird
because the way he takes the name Logan is the guy who kills his father. Because his father is Howlett, right? And he is James Howlett.
Right.
But Logan is Sabretooth's dad. And the guy who is his actual father, and that's weird. And then they do. There is a brief scene. It's another one of those blink and you miss it, where they show his dog tags and it says Logan. And then they make that deal later when he throws them away, and Stryker asks him, "What do you want to be on these? You know, do you want to say Logan or something like that?" He goes, "No, Wolverine."
Wolverine. Yeah, yeah. But like they call him Logan through that entire damn movie from Vietnam on, or. Not Vietnam, from Lagos on, And there's never an explanation for it. And I was like, that's really weird. That's strange to me. It's a weird nitpick. I just felt like it was trying to be so comprehensive with the history of Wolverine that, like, why did you drop the ball on that one?
This movie is interesting as sort of a historical superhero movie, too, because it is loose to the point where it has those huge continuity errors that would just disappear during the Disney era because, right, all of the MCU ones were clearly working off of a book, right? They had a shared Bible for the universe.
Yeah.
The X-Men universe, they're just making it up as they go along.
Yeah, like Cyclops doesn't have ruby quartz glasses until he meets Professor X. That's kind of the point of Professor X. Cyclops actually existed on this earth as a blind man because he had no way of not hurting human beings. So I'm like, how is he rocking these glasses in
I mean, you want to break. Professor X is standing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he gets called Logan in the next movie, Wolverine.
Well, that's fine. He can be called Logan from here on out. But yeah, what I'm saying is
part of that movie takes place before this movie.
Oh, well then, yeah, that's dumb. Like,
yeah.
You're right. In World War II, right? Yeah.
That's a bomb.
Yeah. No, I don't get it. But I will say I actually really do like that next one. But
really? You like the Wolverine?
I love the Wolverine.
Oh my God, that thing is a polished turd.
I love it because the beginning of it was so powerful. We'll talk about that in a few weeks.
They did Silver Samurai dirty in that one.
Deadpool dirty.
Falls apart in the third act.
Yes, they all fall apart. All Wolverine movies fall apart in the third act. I'm trying to remember,
does it have Madame Hydra in it too?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. Viper. They call her Viper.
But Viper, Madame Hydra.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, I know we got to get wrapping up soon, but is there anything you wanted to add and remind me which is the movie that we have to watch next? Is it First Class?
Well, I'm happy that we all enjoy this movie because I think we sometimes get cynical on this show and, it's fun to look back at these things and see what they gave us. But as for what's next, I think that's a toss-up. The next movie in order by release is going to be First Class. But we probably can't just watch The Wolverine.
I would rather watch the First Class because I'm not going to say
Wolverine. It would be First Class than The Wolverine.
I'm not going to say Origins was a great movie. It's just better than I remember it being.
It's a good popcorn movie.
And I do recall First Class being a great movie.
Yeah.
In spite of January Jones, Kevin Bacon takes that movie to a whole new height. Like it's quite awesome. So I'd say let's go First Class next. And then we'll jump back into the world of Wolverine the week later. But, yeah, Brian, thank you for joining us on this. This is fun. Like
I liked it.
I look forward to talking more about X-Men 97, like outside of this show with you. Cause like I am in love with that show. I think it's one of the best cartoons on TV right now. It kills me every Tuesday night. I'm like, why can't they just put it out on Tuesday night? Why can't they just do this? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why do I have to wait till Wednesday morning?
Yeah. I'm conflicted on it too, because on the one hand it's getting me hyped for more X-Men stuff, and you know, as I've already established, I love the X-Men, but at the same time I don't know if they're going to be able to keep it to the same level of quality for a film.
No, they won't, but it's okay. We'll always have this cartoon, you know. Yeah. And so it's great,
but I feel Disney doesn't fully understand the X-Men as a property.
But I think they will more after this show is
hopefully
shown them. Yeah. So, but that's cool. I don't think I've got anything else to add to this. Ricky, what about you?
Nothing. Great show, great movie, and great guest. Thank you,
Brian. You said great movie.
Yeah.
Fun movie. I'll say fun movie.
Fun movie. Poor Daniel Henney. He's the only one we didn't single out and talk about.
I mentioned Zero for a minute.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
He shoots guns.
He shot stuff. He shoots guns.
Yes. All right, we out of here?
Could have made him Phantom X, and that would have been fantastic. But
it's true.
We're out of here. With that, true believers, Enough said.